ABC Radio Australia.
For Papua New Guinean artist Jordan Morris, drawing is more than just a way to support himself through university in Australia. The 28-year-old is quickly becoming one of the country's most notable up-and-coming Pacific artists. Each of his paintings has a powerful story to tell, but behind them all is his own story of pain. Reporter Marianne Farr spoke with Jordan about how he found art in the most difficult of times.
It started off when I was a little kid, but obviously my parents went into a very challenging time of their marriage, and there was a separation, and that's when I started to find sort of like an escape route. So I started to sort of draw and create like little small pieces of art, and it could be of anything. I started tracing against the window with like storybooks, and it's sort of like a coping mechanism to deal with like pressures or my anxiety, you know. So it's sort of like around the mental aspects of it, like it plays a huge part, like it helps me to cope.
Mm. How old were you when your parents went through that separation?
I was 7 turning 8.
Wow.
7 turning 8, yes. And it was not the best separation process. Like it was because polygamy is a big thing in PNG, so it's a very sour sort of separation process. Usually like divorces with like men having more than one wife. It's a very problematic thing for any kid to go through at that age.
Jordan, how did you go about figuring out who you would live with after the separation?
At that age, at the age of 7 and 8, my dad basically took us. It wasn't like a choosing that we wanted to live with mom or dad. He just took us. And we were kids at that time, so we didn't know what was going on. I think I did. With PNG being a very patriarchal society, like dad had so much power, I'd say, at that time, and so much say as well, because he was very, you know, a prominent person in the community as well. And that's how sort of we didn't have a choice in this one. So that's how we were separated.
Mm. Did you have a good relationship with your dad?
Yeah, I did have a good relationship with him. I still do, but it's not as how we used to be.
Mm.
Yeah, but I do speak to him every now and then as a grown up, but not as a kid.
And so, did you keep up with your art after that separation? Did it become a big part of your life?
Yeah. There was something about being in the creative space that sort of provided me with that distraction that I can create things and focus and be distracted from like reality, I guess. Yeah, so that's how it started, and it never stopped. And every time my older half siblings would tell me, like, oh, you know, like, you need to study and do your homework and do this and don't draw and stuff like that. Like they would tell me this. And I mean, at that time, like, I did agree with them, but it was something that I could not let go. And it's sort of years on now that I'm able to do things on my own.
Now, you've talked about art being this really healing thing that's helped you cope with difficult times in your life, and just recently you've been through what has been probably one of the most challenging times. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So ever since my mom and dad separated when I was, I think this was in 2002, I think, my mom remarried again, and we haven't seen her. Like, we see her in like public spaces, but we haven't seen her as in like talk to her in person, or even like go spend holidays, nothing like that, because our dad just, they went on good terms, so, and we were raised up by our dad, so people from our dad's side of the family would say things like, oh, you know, your mom like didn't, you know, she abandoned you, like it's sort of like that kind of saying. And it's a very common thing in PNG where they sort of guilt trip the kids into believing one side of the story, if that makes sense. And it's almost as if she was gone completely. Until last year, I was working, and I got this text message from one of her students, because she was a lecturer at this university in PNG. So one of my followers on Facebook, basically, and it was a student of hers, messaged me and told me that my mom had a stroke. And this is something that I wasn't prepared to hear, and she had a stroke, and I was wondering, like, you know, what happened? What do you mean she had a stroke? Like, and what is a stroke? Like, what are you telling me? We connected on LinkedIn, so we used to communicate via email. That was the only communication we had.
Wow.
So we've been communicating via email, and we're talking about, oh, you know, like, now that we've grown up, now we can come and see you, and, you know, we can make up for the loss. So, I don't know, 20 years, you know, the girls have grown up now. They're becoming women, and they need their mom. So maybe we should make that reparation to start that healing process. And, you know, this was in January when we started to, you know, having plans to reconcile. And now that the kids are grown and can make their own decisions, like, we should have that.
Mm.
But we don't speak regularly. We speak like once every fortnight. And then when she got that stroke, I didn't realize how severe it was, because no one told me anything with her affairs. No one tells me. There was no one to tell me how serious her condition was, and the fact that she also had cancer. So I immediately flew up to PNG and saw her for the first time in 20 years. And the first time I saw her, I get to, like, you know, hold her hand. And I realized that with the stroke, it affected her ability to speak. She couldn't talk to me.
Mm.
So at that point, I was sitting at the hospital trying not to make it about me. And I was like, I can't make this about what I've been through, but I need to focus on getting her better, because at this point, I don't know what to do. The medical system in PNG as well failed her miserably. I'm not sure if that's the appropriate term to use, but there was no detection. She's been going to checks. That's what I found out later, because I thought she never knew. But the thing was, she went for checks and scans and did all of this, and they couldn't detect her cancer. And it was a stage 3 at that point, cervical cancer stage 3. And then she passed away on the 25th of August last year.
Mm.
After we got her the help she needed, we airlifted her to the Philippines, and she left on the 24th, arriving the 25th. And then on the 25th at 9 p.m., I think it's 7 p.m. prison time, she passed away. I think with her passing, it has impacted me in a lot of ways. I turned to my aunt and I started pushing out like pieces. I started putting together ideas, like, because I had to distract myself from the reality of what was happening.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's this process of art and making art has been really central to the grieving process for you. And I know it was only August when your mother passed away. Do you feel like you've been able to get some closure from having seen her and since then, or is it still something that's very raw for you?
It's been 7 months since. I told people who've asked me this question before that I don't think in this lifetime I will ever stop grieving because of what I lost. I grew up thinking that this was taken from me, or this, with that being absent, and with the hopes that I can make up for it once I am grown, or once, you know, one situation goes in my favor, as in me being allowed to go to her freely. But this was taken from me, but now it's just like, it's like an eternity thing where in my head, it's like telling me that that's it.
Mm. It sounds like your mum was very supportive of the side of you that yearned for that, to get an education and to further your studies. And you mentioned that she was a lecturer herself in Papua New Guinea. And so obviously had that academic side, and she encouraged you to develop that or to pursue that in order to be able to give back.
Yes.
What are your dreams, I guess, for the future?
It changes. It changes. Like, I could answer your question right now and it'll change the next hour because of different influences. But one thing that I would like to do is get into philanthropy where I could really, really help kids to see a world that's beyond PNG. And young people growing up in PNG, I don't know how to do that. That's the thing. I don't know how to do that, but I know there is a way.
Jordan, it sounds like you kind of straddle these two worlds, and, you know, you've discovered this life in Australia and discovered yourself in Australia. Mm. But what does Papua New Guinea mean to you these days?
I'd say Papua New Guinea, firstly, it's always home. It's always home. And it's got so much potential. It's got so much potential. And I'm not talking about the resources it has, like the natural resources or the non-renewables. I'm talking about people. People have so much potential because I've seen the good and I've seen the bad. And most of the time, the good has so much potential to outweigh and eradicate the bad, but it doesn't. So it's sort of like a systemic problem that you can't get people from outside to come in to diagnose the problem, it's like the healing process. It starts from inside out. That's how I look at it. And that's why, like, even studying here, you know, you have the option of, you know, going through the stages of the visas. A lot of people come and study here because they want to get integrated into Australian society. Of course, I want to too. But there is a part of me that is tied to PNG because I've seen people struggle. And if you see the theme of my art as well, with women issues as well, like stuff like that, this is my passion. Things I'm passionate about is helping people who are less fortunate, helping people who are like me and who are also not like me, understanding them, understand the stories, giving them a shot at thinking that this life is just not within the boundaries of PNG, that it's bigger. And I don't know how much PNG people can contribute towards the world. They just need to realize and wake up to it.
That was PNG artist Jordan Morris speaking there with reporter Marion Farr. And if you want to check out his artwork, you can visit his website, grimjordan.com.